Welcome to New Generation Church with our special guest, Ruben Mora.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many are excited to be in the house of the Lord? How many know that God is here? Now, if God is here, a lot of things can happen. You know, maybe you came in and you were cast down. But let me tell you, the word of the Lord has the power, the creative power, to just put energy in you, you know. I don't know how it is that you approached the house of the Lord today, but if the Lord is here, as we just said that he was, let me tell you, things can change. And maybe you just need a golden nugget for the week. Man, you're going to get one. In fact, I am believing that not one, but two, or three, or four, or five. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God is going to speak to you. Come on. Say it with authority. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am excited to be here today. When Pastor Eddie called me and said, hey, can you be with me on the 26th? I said, you know what? If I can, I will. It is such a great, great opportunity to be down south. I don't get to come down south that much. But praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here today. Pastor Eddie, thank you for your friendship over the years. And the family in this house, Pastor Eddie on my right. I got Eddie on my left and Eddie on my right. Praise the Lord. I'm all Eddied up. Hallelujah. And readied up in the middle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I know that time is of the essence. Amen. So I just want to read the word, and I'm going to get into what the Lord put in my heart for today. So if you have God's word with you, I want you to please go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And let's read a passage of the scriptures that I believe you know by heart. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And we're going to 2 Kings chapter 6, excuse me. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And I believe that you know this passage by heart. Hallelujah. We're going to read a short story about the sons of the prophets. They were students of the prophets. And they were taught about the things of God, the move of God. They were taught about how to flow with the Spirit, the history of the people of God. And they had a school of prophets. They had training centers dating back all the way to the times of Samuel. And when Elijah was the prophet, he actually came and he was the head of this school for a while. There were certain schools in Bethel, Gilgal, and Jericho, and perhaps there were schools in certain other places. But when Elijah came, he also became the leader of this school, and they flourished under him. And they grew greatly, as you're about to see. But one day, you know, there's always one day, something happened to somebody. That sounds prophetic, huh? Someday, something happened to somebody. And that's what happened here today. So I want to read from verse number 1. And it says this way. And the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. And let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. In other words, we want you to come with us. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for he was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your word. We sense your visitation here this morning, God. There is a sweet presence of your Holy Spirit here today. God, we want you to speak to us, Lord. Lord, let this word, God, resonate in our spirit, God. Lord, those of us that, God, came for this word today, God. Lord, help us, God, to perceive what the Spirit is trying to say. Lord, we love you. We praise you. God, speak to us. Lord, we are ready. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Now, the Bible says that they had outgrown the place where they were at, and they really needed to expand. And in the midst of this growth, in the midst of this forward pushing, in the midst of this enlargement, the Bible says that something happened to a particular person, something that was very peculiar and very interesting. He lost his cutting edge. I want to talk to you today about regaining your cutting edge. Come on. I want you to think back to maybe the last few weeks, the last few months, maybe even before COVID. And the question I want you to consider is, were you growing in the things of God? If you look back for a little bit, were you excited about coming to church? Were you just ready for Sunday to come in because you wanted to shower up, get your dress on, hallelujah, your blue suit on, and get ready to go to church? Were you excited about the things that God was doing in your life? Did you look forward to coming to his house? Was his word doing an amazing impact in your life? Were you looking forward to a Saturday morning that you could separate time and just be with God alone and spend time in his presence? Does that clearly define you? If you take a candid look at things now, let me ask the same question. Are you still gaining ground? One santo. I feel quiet in here. Hallelujah. Are you still excited about what God is going to do through you? Are you still like ready? It's 1 a.m. Man, I can't go to sleep. At 7, I'm getting up to go to church tomorrow. Are you excited about the things of God? Or have you lost your edge a little? Now, what am I talking about? Talking about that spiritual sharpness that cuts a pathway into the spiritual realm. I'm talking about a discernment from God that you may be in an adverse situation, but you are connected. And because you are connected, you get his word. He drops his spirit into your spirit. And you know that everything will be okay. I'm talking about the spiritual sharpness that you have, sensitivity of heart. And that allows you to move forward no matter what. No one has to pat you on the back and say, andale hermano. No. You got something. You are connected. You got spiritual sharpness within you. Do you have it or have you lost it? Now let me help you out today because you're a little quiet. I know we're starting. You didn't go to Starbucks yet because it's early on a Sunday, but it's okay. You'll be caffeinated soon enough. Let me give you a couple of indicators to help you to see if you've lost your cutting edge. There's a few indicators that you can look to. The first indicator that maybe you've lost your cutting edge is a diminished sensitivity to the voice of God or the impressions of the Spirit. Diminished. Has it diminished? When you look at Hebrews 11, the Bible says, it's talking about the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ as believers. And I'm going to read that verse to you. It says, you have become dull. We have much to say, but it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Notice, dull of hearing. You became dull of hearing. That means in one time you were sharp of hearing. You were ready to hear. You had discernment, but now something happened and you just became a little dull. The Amplified Bible says, you've become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish in acquiring spiritual insight. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus spoke of people that would hear but not understand. The Bible says that they saw, but they could not perceive. Notice where I'm leading you here. They had been dull. Are you no longer hearing the voice of the Lord? Are you no longer hearing the whisper of the Spirit? Or are you still connected? Is it difficult for you to discern the hand of God in the affairs of life? Does it become a little clouded these days? Is it a little different to know that God is moving in the affairs of your life? So perhaps you need to regain your cutting edge. A second indicator when your spiritual sharpness has been lost is a diminished usefulness as an instrument in the hands of God. Revelation chapter 14, Jesus is depicted in a white horse cloud sitting with a golden crown on his head. And the Bible says that in his hand there is a sickle. And an angel cries out from the temple. And the angel says, the harvest from the earth is ripe. Thrust your sickle and reap. The Bible says that Jesus actually thrusts his sickle forward and he reaps the harvest of the earth. Now, let me break that down for you. The harvest of the earth is lost people. The harvest of the earth is people that need to come into the kingdom. Those that still need to be reaped in. But there is a sickle in Jesus' hand. What is that? The sickle in his hand is his church. Jesus uses his body, the members of the church, to actually go into the world and bring the lost in. That sickle in the hands of Jesus, it's actually the church that makes a mighty impact in the kingdom of darkness. He uses people to rescue the perishing. But if you've lost your cutting edge, you will no longer be effective as an instrument in God's hand. But hey, when you are sharp, when you've been in the secret place, when you're still connected, when you still got that discernment, that spiritual discernment that you cannot describe, let me tell you, something else happens. You walk into a room and people know that you carry a certain anointing. They look at your eyes and they say, what planet did this man come from? Because he looks a little different. When you walk into a room, people look at you and they say, what is he carrying? What kind of coffee is he drinking? Because he looks and he walks a little different. Do you know what I'm talking about? So when you are connected, you can be a sickle in the hands of the master because you're sharp. And sometimes you're walking down the boulevard and the Holy Spirit just talks to you. And he says, make a left here and knock on the third house. And you know exactly that the Lord had spoken to you. You see, when we're spiritually sharp, God uses us to move people into the kingdom. So now that I gave you the indicators, I want to ask you another honest question. Have you lost your cutting edge? Has the river of life claimed the axe head out of your hands? If that's the case, there is hope for you. You're in the right place. I want to give you seven simple thoughts, seven golden nuggets from this scripture that I believe today will help you to regain your cutting edge. You don't have to go to Harvard, UCLA, USC, none of that. You just got to have an ear to hear the word of the Lord. They're very simple. They're not highly academic. Amen. Are you with me today? Tell your neighbor, afina el oído, dile, tune up your ear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've lost your cutting edge and you want to regain it this morning, number one, Do not condemn yourself, but take responsibility. Now, let me tell you, good people, spiritual people, people that mean well, lose their cutting edge. Follow me today. The story of this man, it says that he was dedicated. He was in ministry. He was vigorously employed in the work of the kingdom. He was there by divine permission. In other words, this man was not sinning. This man was not living in disobedience. There is no indicator at all that this man actually was unspiritual. So I don't want you to get the idea that only an unspiritual person who would allow himself to lose his cutting edge or enter into a state of dullness. No, none of us is exempt from the possibility of losing our cutting edge. Why? Because in the business of life, sometimes it's easy to lose our edge. I've lost mine a few times. I know when I'm preaching, like this morning, and I can see that the Holy Spirit is cutting between the bone and the tendon. And I can see when people are receiving. But other times, I am speaking, and it seems like I'm talking to the wall. And in those moments, I got to say, wait a minute, Lord. What is going here? There's got to be some self-examination. Why is it not working? What is it happening here? And I have lost a couple of times my cutting edge. And let me tell you, I always land up on the altar and say, God, I need you to smooth me out. I need you, God, for the words to come from me. God, that the heart. Hearts will receive them. But what you don't want to say is, I'm such a failure. I am such a loser. No, 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 no. You can't say, God must be disappointed at me. No, that's the devil talking to you. But you know, don't condemn yourself. However, do assume responsibility. Now, this guy was not the only one chopping trees there, as you know. There were many other men chopping trees as well. According to 2 Kings chapter 2, there were no less than 50 sons of the prophets that were there by the Jordan. 50 men. None of the other men lost their axe head. Only this man lost his axe head. So in one way or another, it was his responsibility to get back what he had lost. Maybe it was the way he was chopping. People not accustomed to that kind of work, they say, are a danger with an axe head in their hands. There was a grandpa and a boy hammering in their garage. And the grandpa says to the boy, "Boy, you hammer like lightning." The little boy looked at grandpa and said, "Yeah, grandpa." And the grandpa said, "Yeah, mijo, you never hit the same spot twice." And they say that people that carry an axe head and they don't know how to use it, they become dangerous. There's a trick to this. Let's talk about the axe. The first thing you got to consider is the axe itself, the handle. People that know about this say that the best one is made out of hickory. You got to cut the wood. You got to cut it in a certain way. You have to cure it. The grains have to be in the same direction. Then you got to work on the axe head itself. You put the cast iron. You throw the molten iron in it. You let it cool off. And then at the end, of course, you have to sharpen it. Then you insert the handle into the edge, and you put wedges on the top through the orifice on the top because you want that wood inside the axe head to enlarge so it wouldn't fall. People that know about this say that you never store your axe in a dry place because it could be that the wood actually would decompress and the axe head would fall. In fact, people that do this for a living, if they know that the next day they're going to go out and cut some wood, what they do is they put their axe head in a bucket all night. So it actually expands overnight. But you don't want to put your axe head by a fireplace because you may lose your edge. Now, The guy in our story could have blamed anybody else. He could have blamed the person that lent him the axe head, but he did not. Once the axe head was in his possession, it was his responsibility. And I want to tell you something today. As long as you blame somebody else, as long as you point to somebody else, you'll never regain your cutting edge. I grew up with a brother in church, amazing brother. And this guy would do everything, Christmas plays, take the van, pick up people, sing. And one day I talked to him and I said, hey, I'm looking at you and you look a little different. And he said, yeah, I'm using a new system to study and pray. And I'm like, whoa, share with me. You look a little off, but share with me. He says, yeah, now I'm using the hungry method. Hungry method, man, that's like something I can use. And I said, like, what is that? He says, yeah, I don't read the word now until I get hungry. I go, how does that work? He said, yeah, I let it go 7 days. And then in the seventh day, I may read 20 chapters. And what about prayer? About the same thing, he said. I don't pray for a few days. And then when I'm really hungry, I spend a great day with the Lord. I said, brother, that doesn't sound right to me. No, you know what? I don't know if I could subscribe myself to that method. You look a little off. And you know where that brother is today? Unfortunately, he's on skid row using drugs. Why? Because he started losing his edge and losing his edge, and he never did anything to claim it. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus said, your joy, no one can take from you. Whose joy is it? Your joy. No one can take from you. So if you have no joy today, who stole it? Who gave it away? The devil didn't steal it. It wasn't his. You gave it away. Paul said, give the devil no place. Right. So who's got the position? You do. So if you look at your affairs and the devil is hovering, raiding, you need to know that you have given him a place. If you've lost your cutting edge, it is your responsibility. Don't place the blame on somebody else's feet or you will never recover it. It's up to you. Secondly, if you've lost your cutting edge, stop going through the motions. He's already speaking to you. Once the son of the prophets realized that he has lost his axe head, he didn't continue going through the motions of chopping. The Bible says he cried out immediately, alas, prophet, it was borrowed. You know, here's something I want you to consider. Imagine you are the one chopping wood. You lose your axe head, and now you got a stick in your hands. That's all you have. And a huge trunk in front of you. And you just keep chopping with a stick on a trunk. Stick on a trunk. Let me tell you, it may take 1,000 years, if so, for you to chop that down. And that's exactly the picture of many Christians today. We want to go somewhere. We want to gain ground. But all we have remaining in our hands is a stick without an axe head. And we keep going and going and going. We keep doing the same things. A lot of people lose their cutting edge and they continue to chop. Days pass, months pass, weeks pass, and it is the same thing. Let me tell you something, if you could understand this, that handle, that wooden piece is actually your ability, your skills, your talent, your education, your knowledge. But let me tell you, that is only going to get you so far. The axe head made of iron is actually the divine side of the story. That is actually God's anointing. That is actually God's enabling in your life. So when you put that divine side to your human side, now you have an instrument that can go, make you go forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But no, a lot of people in the church function this way. No sharpness. And they keep going with a stick on that big trunk. They know there is no progress, but they keep chopping. Well, the word doesn't impact me anymore like it used to. Man, the pastor would open the Bible and I would just cry. He didn't even read a verse. And now, I just don't feel the same. Pastor preaches and others seems to get it. They got amazing discernment, but I'm not receiving like before. I'm as dry as a desert in the middle of summer. That's how you feel. I got no insight, no reaction. The Spirit does not speak to me like it used to, but it's okay. I look good. I wear a suit and a tie on Sunday, and I can hide. Praise the Lord. I even know how to say hallelujah in a way that sounds holy. I can say alleluia, and people think that I look good. I feel dry. I feel dull, but it's okay. I can hide it. I can be part of the group. I know I won't stand out. No. Stop. Stop going through the motions. Take a candid look at your life. Are you still growing? Are you still growing in your faith? Are you sharpening your soul? Are you deepening your love for Jesus? Are you getting deeper in the Word? Or are you just going through the motions? Let me give you a third golden nugget. When you decide to stop faking it, I expected a bigger amen. I thought somebody would stand and dance and say hallelujah. Someone had the tambourine ready. Okay. Number three. Only in God will you be resharpened. Notice that this man cried out, Master. He said that to the prophet. In the Old Testament, the prophet was a representation of God. He was God's mouthpiece. In the New Testament, our master is not a prophet. Although he is a prophet, our master is Jesus Christ himself. Whether you want to say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we got the same person. He alone can give you what you've lost. Let me tell you today, don't go to any other place to recover your spiritual sharpness. You got to get in with God. You got to go back to God. You got to go back to the one who makes things spiritual, because it's a spiritual sharpness. Do you get it? Hallelujah. My pastor told us a story. Said he went to preach out, and a couple who was about 90 years old wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For 40 years, they had actually tried to receive the baptism. And they said to my pastor, we went to Oral Roberts, and we didn't get baptized. We went to Catherine Coleman and we didn't get baptized. We went to others and they didn't have it either. My pastor looked at them and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. I don't have it either. But I know one who does. His name is Jesus. If you stop looking to these people and you start looking to the one who baptizes, he might as well just baptize you today. And in 5 minutes, hallelujah, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they went to the right place. They looked to the right place. Let me tell you, in moments of spiritual dullness, don't go to Don Francisco. In moments like that, don't go to Oprah or Dr. Phil. They cannot help you. Hallelujah. You need to go to Jesus. Only Jesus can bring sharpness into your soul. You need to go back to the one who committed his word. Shunammite woman receives a word from the Lord. About this day next year, you will have a son. Bible says that as the prophet declared, 1 year later, she had a son. The boy grew, but the Bible says that one day he died. And he takes that boy and puts it in the room that he had made for the man of God. And he goes over to Mount Carmel. And as she is approaching, The Bible says that Gehazi comes out and says, is everything okay? And she says, everything is okay. Everything was not okay. So why did she say it is okay? Because she understood something. Gehazi had not given her the word. It wasn't Gehazi who committed the word for that son to be alive. It was Elijah. So she knew she should not talk to Gehazi, who had nothing to do with that child. She should go forward and proceed all the way to Elijah, because it was Elijah who was responsible for that, until she went in and said, Elijah, you have to go. And sure enough, Gehazi had gone. The boy would not resurrect until Elijah came. Then the boy resurrected. Why? Because it was Elijah's command. You need to know in the same way. You need to go to him that has the authority. Don't waste time with the Gehazis of life that will drain you. Don't waste time with the Gehazis of life that will throw a bucket of cold water like the football coaches on TV. They will drain your vision. I'm telling you, go to Jesus. Go to the altar. Come to this part of the church and just spend time with God, and you will be resharpened. I'm trying to hurry today, because I know there is another group coming. Oh my God, how am I going to get all this in? Number four, if you've lost your cutting edge, consider this question. Where did it fall? Notice that the prophet asks, look at verse 6. Where did it fall? That's a very important question to consider. The man of God says, where did it fall? Take me to that very spot. Let me tell you something. The place where you've lost your cutting edge is probably the same place where you will regain it. Sometimes we talk to people and they say, our finances have turned. And of course, we ask questions, and can you pinpoint the spot where that happened? And sure enough, they would say something like, well, we stopped tithing. And after that, that's when things got sour. And so notice, they can pinpoint the spot in which things turn. Other times we're talking to people that are having relationship issues, and we go, okay, so how did it, do you get here? And they can tell you the spot. Some people can go to a place of disobedience. Others can go to a place where family came in, friends came to the family that they were not supposed to be there. Others pinpoint to a place where maybe forgiveness was not given. But everybody knows where they lost their axe head. I remember when I was little, maybe 7, 8, we went fishing one day in Cuba, and my dad had a little knife. It was a very nice knife, and it's not like here in the United States that, man, we got everything in this country, man. You lose a knife and you're like, you don't even know you lost a knife. You just go and you get another one. But in Cuba, you lose a knife, it's a big thing. And we were fishing, and he took it out to cut the head of a little fish, to put as a hook, blah, blah, blah. And the knife fell out of his hands through the crevice in the pier, and it fell into the water. And I could see my dad's face change. And that night, I said, Dad, what's happening with you? What's wrong? He said, son, you saw when I lost the knife. It hurts me. And I said, Dad, don't worry. I'm going to get it for you tomorrow. And the very next day, we went back to the beach. I ask you, where do you think I went? Answer, to the same spot where I knew my dad had dropped the knife. And sure enough, I went like that. Wouldn't you know it? It was going like this on the water. And I put my hand and I took it out. In other words, the same spot where my dad lost the knife is the same spot where I found it. So I want you to consider this very thing. Most people can take you to the place they lost it. Where did it fall? Where did it fall? Where did you lose your cutting edge? I knew a man of God, amazing. He would preach. Words of life would come from him. He had a gift of prophecy. I went to one of his meetings and I said, God, please speak to me. Sure enough, he called me and he said, blah, 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 blah. Everything he told me came to pass, but one day he disappeared. And I started questioning what had happened to him. No one would know. 15 years later, one of my sister-in-law's friends said, guess who tried to sleep with me? I said, who? Not that I need to know, but since you asked the question. And he told me this person's name. And then I realized, oh, that makes sense. There is a major disappearance. Over the years, maybe there was a way in which it ended in that. And little by little, his edge was being dull and dull over the years to get to this point. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Where did it fall? If you feel like you've lost your sharpness, return to the altar of prayer. Hang with people that will take you to the altar. Bring people into your circle that will speak life to you. Go to the place of disobedience and become obedient again. Go to the place of unforgiveness and start forgiving again. Go to the place where you stop tithing and start tithing again and giving unto God. My question to you to consider is, where did it fall? There's a fifth golden nugget that I want to give you. And because of time, I'm only going to give you the essence. Number five, don't forget about the cross. In fact, I'm not even going to look at my notes, or I will be here another 80 minutes, 2 hours. Don't forget about the cross. The Bible says in this particular spot that the man of God throws a stick into the water. Did you see that? It says that he throws a piece of wood into the water. That piece of wood, I believe it's prophetic. You see, Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, and the Bible says that he carried a stick. And the Bible speaks of Moses as the New Testament speaks of Jesus to the church. The people of Israel were saved in Moses, whose leader had a stick in his hand. The people of God in the New Testament were led out of captivity through Jesus, who died on a cross, a piece of wood. So every time you see a reference to a stick or a piece of wood being thrown into the waters and the waters are healed, I always see the cross. Why? Because when you put the cross into the crisis of life, when you throw the cross into the drama of life, everything goes from bitter to sweet. You can find everything you've lost at the foot of the cross. Maybe it's unforgiveness, you can find it on the cross. Maybe it's rebellion, you can find it on the cross. Maybe it's dullness of hearing, you can find it at the cross. And a heart that has been sulking into the dirty mud of life and sin can always float again under the grace of the Lord. Number six, I want to give you everything. Number six, look at verse number six. The Bible says that God made the iron's head float. So point number six is, God will always do his part. God will always do his part. Now, pardon me. If you go to a river and you see an axe head floating, I'm sure you will know that that's not natural. Right? If you see an axe head floating in a river, you gotta say, this is not right. This is supernatural. There's something happening here. So when they see the axe head floating in this particular chapter, they must have known that something spiritual was happening. You don't expect to see iron float in water. So it was a supernatural occurrence. Why do I say this? Because you need to know that even today, God still makes axe head float. Hallelujah. Still today, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how big of a problem you have. Maybe your axe head is at the bottom of the river and you're saying, man, it is unnatural for it to flow or float. Let me tell you, don't worry about how God is going to make it float. You just need to know that you serve a God who is a miracle worker. You serve a God who's got the power to go against nature itself and make axe head flows. In fact, the Bible says that the axe head was floating in the water. And then the man of God said, number 7, I'm going to end with this. Look what it says in the middle of number 7. It says, pick it up for yourself. Golden nugget number 7. You got to take it for yourself. No one is going to take your axe head for you. Now, God is going to do his part. He's going to make the axe head float. But at the end of the process, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to stretch out your hand and take your miracle. You're going to have to stretch out your hand and believe that which you were choosing not to believe. You're going to have to extend out your hand and take your miracle. Let me tell you, God will not fail. He will make the axe head float. But at the end of the process, you're going to have to extend your hand and say, God, I believe. I'm going to move in faith. I'm going to start tithing again. I'm going to start giving again. I'm going to start praying for people again. I'm going to start prophesying again. I'm going to start laying down my hands on people again. I'm going to start moving again in the name of Jesus. And look how it ends. It says, so he reached out his hand and took it. And only then did he have his axe head back. So my question to you is, I don't even want to look at my notes. Is there anyone here today that needs to extend out your hand and take your miracle back? I'm going to ask that you please stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.